talk a little bit about meditation, about the type of meditation we're doing right now. Imagine, say you were having, I ask you to have an imagination, say, of this room, people meditating in this room. You actually have it as an imagination. So say all of us are having that imagination. That imagination that you're having, right, has one self. Me. I'm having an imagination of everyone sitting in the room, including my own body sitting in the room. All bodies are in the room, in this particular room. But that imagination comes from me. It's my mind is taking on that form of that imagination. But that entire imagination and every being, every person in that imagination, in fact, as me, as itself, right? Because the whole thing comes from me, right? So I am the consciousness, I am the conscious being, which is the self of that imagination, right? Everybody see that? And so from the standpoint of each being in the imagination, each being, each person in the imagination is going to be saying, this is myself, this is myself, this is myself, this is myself, which it is. For each one of us in that imagination, it is myself. Right? But the self which I am is only one. It's the one self of the imagination. See what I mean? And so if the imagination is there, every being, every part, the imagination as a whole enjoys me, my being. And every single thing in the imagination enjoys me as my being. All of the different people in the imagination, all contemplating, they are all contemplating on their self, which is myself. Right? Yourself is myself. It's not that yourself is like myself. Yourself is myself. Right? And so now, what we did today in this contemplation, we, instead of being focused on this physical body, this person, this body, mind, sense organs who is contemplating, imaginally we replaced or superimposed on this physical body the form of Dakshinamurti. For those of you who know that, it's just the image and there he is. Okay, so we imagine ourselves as Dakshinamurti, evoking that form, Dakshinamurti contemplating on his self, which is myself. There's only one self. From the standpoint of the form, Dakshinamurti could say, except he's the first teacher, so he won't, but he could say, this is myself. That is true. This is myself. But then he would go on to say, this is myself, which is yourself. Because when we're contemplating, we're going, in a sense, to a different level of understanding my experience. I'm going to a different level of understanding. Because for every one of us, this conscious being that I am is always present, this me, this very personal me, is always present to every experience I have, every emotion, every thought, every imagination. I am the one who is the constant there. You can't have a thought or an experience or a feeling or a perception without yourself being there. You see? Give me a try to imagine having a thought or a feeling or an experience or a memory away from your own presence. It's just that normally we don't differentiate my being from all of these changing thoughts and feelings and experiences. But now when we're contemplating, as we go through this teaching, that's what's going to be happening. You're going to be recognizing the changelessness, the stability of your own presence. And you're going to be recognizing that this presence that I am is the very presence that Dakshinamurti is. When you see in the temple, Dakshinamurti is meditating. He is meditating on the self, which I'm meditating on, myself. It is truly myself, but it is truly Dakshinamurti's self. It is truly Swamiji's self. It's the self of all beings. It's the self of all animals. It's the self of the whole creation. So this self, which is me, it's not somebody else, the self that is me, is the self that is you, is the self that is all beings, is the self that is Swamiji. That's why Swamiji, Puja Swamiji, or Swamiji also, Puja Swamiji recently just said, you know, I am formless. I'm not just this body. I am the self. I am the very self that is yourself. But I don't go anywhere. As Ramana said, I don't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. Just imagine this, the whole, if you use the imagination analogy, it's not really an analogy, it's an absolute fact in reference to your imagination, but what's true to your imagination is true to the universe. This universe, the universe of all of our experiences, comes into being and goes out of being. It's continually changing. Right? And it's continually known, comes into knownness. Every thought, every feeling, every emotion you have, as it arises, it is known. Right? Then the next one comes, it is known, it is known. Every experience is like that. But the knownness is really the consciousness of my being. That's not coming in into my experience and going out of experience. I am always the one who is there. No matter what the experience is, if the imagination is there, if the perception is there, if the feeling is there, whatever it may be, those things all come and go. I don't come and go. Right? So my being is the changeless constant that I need to start recognizing, differentiating. It's not a new experience, it's you. It's just we have not differentiated me from all of these experiences that really can't confine me, because the experiences, confine me means all these experiences that I have, they're all objectified, subject-object, they're all known, they all come and go, I remain. So what is happening to me? As all of these experiences go on changing, as the universe itself goes on changing, as birth and death goes on taking place, all of these are objectifiable experiences that come and go. I'm the one that they come and go in. Right? So there's never any, I'm never touched, in fact. I'm the self of all of the experiences, but myself is never touched. That's what we have to recognize. So Swamiji says, I'm form, I'm formless, I'm not going anywhere. There's nowhere for me to go. You know, don't worry. You know. In fact, you are Swamiji. You are Ishwara, in fact. From the standpoint of your being, this conscious being that you are Swamiji, there's no second. You know. If you want to be with Swamiji, then you just have to say, I am Swamiji. I'm never not with Swamiji. It's not possible. This very self, this very conscious being, is Swamiji. When he's contemplating, he says, I'm formless. You can say the same, contemplating, you say, I'm formless. I am formless. All the forms come and go. So that's the knowledge that he continually imparts, and now that his form is going, it's very handy for us to to realize the reality of that. Another thing that I wanted to say here. For a Mahatma, somebody who's mature in their knowledge, a Jivanmukta, somebody who's really liberated and has really owned this knowledge, that's what we call Jnana-nishtha. Jnana-nishtha means they're very complete, their mind is very complete in this knowledge, very well-rooted, very clear. For such a person, the raga dveshas, these likes and dislikes, I want this so that I can be happy and I need that so I can have this. Raga means all my passions, all the things that I want so that I can be happy. And the dveshas are all the things I need to get rid of so that I can be happy. All those raga dveshas, these likes and dislikes for a Mahatma, they have all become mitya. Mitya means they have no independent being, they don't do anything, they don't touch myself in any way. I don't take them very seriously. I don't take them very seriously at all, in fact. The reason that I don't take them seriously, that I can just let them waft through if anything like that is there, is because I've recognized that the ananda that I've been seeking through fulfilling this and fulfilling that really doesn't belong to all of these things. The ananda that I'm seeking to get out of all of these things is really my own nature. That's why you can have garage sales. You wanted this so badly, and you wanted this, and then you wanted that, and now they are just in the way, right? Or you love this person, now you hate this person. Yeah. All of samsara, you know. They really don't carry the ananda, the wholeness at all, in any way. It's all just an illusion. It's a superimposition. And it makes you run after the creation, run after this, and run after that, and get rid of that, and get rid of this, all of this. You're running after all of these things because the ananda that is really your own nature, the fullness that's your own nature, because it is not yet fully known. It's experienced, but the source of it is not known. It all gets projected out, and then that keeps you going. It's what we call samsara, running after this. Running after that never comes to an end because it's not really out there. It's just an illusion. It's where you fulfill all these desires, and then you're kind of left. You ever had this experience? You fulfill a desire. You're so happy for 15 seconds. Yeah, so ecstatic, but then 15 seconds later another little thought comes. Yeah, but what about this? I should have this too, or somebody might take this away, or you know, something comes to the great spoiler comes, and then you've fulfilled the desire, you have the desired object, but you don't have the ananda that it was supposed to give and make you live happily ever after. You know, it's so funny. At some point, this happens. Okay, we accept reincarnation in life after life after life from beginningless time. So, from beginningless time, this is the power of ignorance. From beginningless time, this has been happening to us. We fulfill this desire. We're so happy for our 15 seconds. It goes away, and you think that's because I need this also. And then you get that also, you get your 15 seconds, that goes away, you're left with the object, but not with the ananda. You get rid of this thing, finally I got rid of this thing, or I got rid of this person, or I got rid of this obstruction. Whew, 15 seconds, gone, okay. Mm-hmm. Goes on, lifetimes, before this mumukshutvam, this desire for liberation, arises in your mind where you say, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work. It's not like I'm achieving wholeness. I'm getting glimpses of wholeness or well-being. And then I start to think about it and I realize this world of continual change, including the continual change of my mind, it can't give me. It's impossible. It's that when all of the factors are changing, continually, they're not going to stop because the nature of the world is not, you know, you can't take a snapshot. Right? It's a movie. It's not a snapshot. Right? So you can't hang on to any given moment of experience. It's just how it is. At some point you realize, oh my God, that is how it is. Now, Bhagawan, if there's any way out of this, please save me. That's the mumukshu, because you've recognized the situation. You know? So for the Mahatma, the source, that recognition took place. It became a mumukshu, one who desires liberation, and then became a jnani, one who has knowledge. And the knowledge has to do with the recognition that my very being is the one being which itself is the ananda that I seek. So that in all of the Upanishads, in all of the Prakarana Granthas, the different texts that we teach, like this Sastamalakiya Bhasha we'll be teaching, is really unfolding that vision, making it clear, making it logically understood, experientially recognized, because that self is already there. It's not like you have to go find a new self. You know, just the me is already present. But I need to recognize in so many ways that this self that I am is the very ananda that I seek, and that this very self is the self of the Lord, is the self of all beings, is the self of all animals, is the self of all plants, is the self of good people, dharmic people, and adharmic people. It's not like only the dharmis have the self. All beings have this, have all come from the self. It's like if you have a nightmare, it's not a different self. It's still my nightmare. Okay? Selte is the same being, illumining whatever experiences are there. But that being is not going through those experiences. Those experiences depend upon me, but I am not bound or touched by those experiences. This viveka is what we have to become clear on, you know, and we have to own. We have to own now. We can have Swamiji all these years, Puja Swamiji. He is the beacon light holding this ananda as he walks around giving it to everybody. We can just let him have it. and then bask in his strength and his teachings. But he's not teaching us to worship him. He's teaching us that we are him, that there's only one self. And that's the great gift. That's the great gift of this sampradaya. They use the example of one candle flame being passed on, lighting the next candle. That candle lights the next candle. That candle lights the next candle. Those flames are identical. It's not like there's one great Mahatma candle shining at all these other little mini candles. There's only one flame. That's the idea. And that knowledge that's being passed on, you know, is passed on fully. And the self that's being revealed is the very self that has always been there. It's really the self of all beings, the self of the whole creation, and your very intimate self is me that you are, right? So that's this knowledge is so beautiful and so profound. Swamiji wants to make sure the sampradaya continues in strength. And that's who we are. That's what we need to do, is gain this knowledge and pass it on. That's it.